Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me. As always, it's such an honor and a pleasure to be with you today because it allows me the opportunity to share with you some important information that really will make a difference in your health and well-being. And as we all get educated, we all get empowered so we can make the best decisions possible. Before I talk to you about my wonderful guest and great topic, we're going to be exploring all about our lymph system, getting to know your lymph system, which is a missing piece of your health puzzle. So if you don't know what your lymph system is and you've never really known much about it or what to do about it, stay tuned because it's a really important conversation we're having today. Anyway, before we get there, I just want to invite everyone to go to my website, What Women Must Know, because I have some free reports for you, and it's an opportunity to be available to a lot of the information that I'll be sharing with my list. I also send archives out of this radio show, so it's a chance to get it, listen to it when it's convenient for you. Go to my Facebook page, too, which is also What Women Must Know, because I post every day with more information, articles, important information, things that I find that I want to share with everyone. And one last thing I want to say. I know I've been telling you for the last few weeks that I am taking a group of people with me to Costa Rica to go to an amazing life advancement center, it's called. Rhythmia is the name of the center in Costa Rica. It's in one of the blue zones of the world. You know, those are the places where you have exceptional health and longevity. And at the Rhythmia Center, we're going to experience the healing from plant medicines such as ayahuasca, conducted by traditional shaman from South America. These are amazing experiences. I think I mentioned to all of you that I went last year to Peru to be with the shaman at the Amazon, but now we're going to a luxury resort, kind of from from one extreme to the next, in Costa Rica. But in addition to the opportunity to the spiritual transformational journey, and many of you have been aware of what I've been saying, that the plant medicines are profound ways to actually heal deep emotional wounds, open to a direct connection of your divine essence. There's no words to really describe what happens in these ceremonies, but they change you in a very profound way for the better forever. But in addition to that, we are going to be including an amazing healing component to this six-night journey, six nights, 7 days, because at the Rhythmia Center, they also include, as part of the entire program, three amazing hydrotherapy sessions with a very special type of ozone colonic. You get three massages. You get volcanic mud baths. We're in an area where there's volcanoes and obviously mud from the volcanoes that we're going to be taking advantage of. There are daily yoga sessions, meditation classes. You also have licensed counselors, psychological counselors, naturopaths. There's life coaching. There's organic farm-to-table foods. There are special personal development classes. And in addition, there's a beautiful pool and the beaches a mile away, and you have bicycling and the list goes on and on. Oh, yeah, did I tell you that you get live blood cell analysis and two aura readings? Can you believe that? So it's all included in this amazing experience. Anyway, if you want to know more, you can either contact me directly at Dr. Selman at What Women Must Know, or you can call this number, 844-346-8069. That's 844-346-8069, or just go to rhythmia.com/Selman to learn more about the program. Anyway, it's a small group. We're going to have an amazing time. It will provide everyone with an opportunity to be renewed, refreshed, rejuvenated, expanded, step into the new year with a greater connection to your true self. So think about it. Come along. It will be a trip of a lifetime, I promise you. Okay, well, Let's get back to the lymph, because this is such an important system that few of us really understand. My guest today is Dr. John Doulard, and I just want to tell you a little bit about him. He's a chiropractic physician, and he is also a youthful 60-year-old globally recognized leader in the fields of natural health, Ayurveda, and sports medicine. He is the creator of LifeSpa.com, the leading Ayurvedic health and wellness resource on the web with over 4.5 million views on YouTube. LifeSpa.com is evolving the way Ayurveda is understood around the world, with over 700 articles and videos proving ancient wisdom with modern science. Dr. John is the former director of player development for the New Jersey Nets NBA team, author of 7 health books, a repeat guest on the Dr. Oz show, and featured in Women's World magazine, Huffington Post, Yoga Journal, and dozens of other publications. He has been helping patients repair the digestive system and eat wheat and dairy again for 30 years, and has seen over 100,000 patients and directs LifeSpa.com, the 2013 Holistic Wellness Center of the Year in Boulder, Colorado. So, it's my great pleasure to have Dr. John with us today, because he has such a wealth of information he'll be sharing with us. So welcome, and thank you for being with us today, Dr. John.
Oh, thank you. So good to be here.
You're a busy guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm sure we all are.
Well, you know, I always get amazed at how much we can pack into our lives, and you're certainly doing some great work and spreading a very important message all around the world. I just want to share with everyone, and we talked about this before the show, that I was introduced to you through a colleague of mine, a good friend and a colleague, who said, this is a great series, you need to check it out. And you were doing a special video series about the lymph system, explaining what it was. It was, I think, 4 parts. And it was so educational. I was so inspired that I followed up to invite you to be on the show. So I'm so thrilled you are able to be here, because I am so interested in learning as much about the lymph system as possible. I also mentioned to you that one of my interests is because my 93.5-year-old mother had damage from, she was severely damaged from being over-radiated 25 years ago, and since that time has suffered from lymphedema in her left leg, and that's created a host of chronic issues that are going on for her, and very few, well, no one's really been able to help her at all. No one really, in the medical world, no one really understands what to do with the lymph system. So this is such an important conversation for all of us listening, as we will all understand very shortly. So thank you for the great work you've been doing. And I think we need to start at the beginning in this conversation. And let's jump in by helping people to understand just what is this thing called the lymph system.
Yeah, it's a great question, and most folks, you know, they hear the word lymph, and we instantly think of the word cancer, and it's just all bad news from there. And the reality is that the lymph system is the largest circulatory system of our body. And we think about the blood supply being a big circulatory system. It delivers blood to the cells. Well, the lymph does a whole lot more. It's the drainage system of every single cell in your body. It carries your entire immune system. It delivers fats, triglycerides, as fuel for every cell of your body. So the energy, baseline energy that you get, like in-between meal energy, it comes from delivering fats as fuel through the lymphatic system. And if that system's congested, most likely you're going to feel generally tired, definitely tired after a meal, like that food coma people get. It also delivers other nutrients into, like, proteins and fats to the body, but it also detoxifies fat-soluble chemicals as well. So, I mean, this is the one system that literally does it all, and it's the one system we know so little about. And what I found was that, well, I went to India 1986 to study Ayurvedic medicine, studied their traditional system of medicine, and found out that the number one system that they treat first and foremost is the lymph system, the drains of the body. In fact, the lymph system, their study of the lymph is what they call the study of longevity. So if you have good lymph drainage system in your body, you're going to live a long life. And then when I dove into the science of lymph, there are volumes of studies, you know, that have been done on the lymphatic system, but none of them have actually made it to medical practice yet. So that's what I've been doing for the last 30 years, is kind of connecting these dots and helping people clinically resolve a lot of problems that they have that don't seem to have solutions because we're not treating the drains. We're just treating the faucets. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm sure for many people listening, they really have never heard of it or just never got the story about our lymph system and what it is and where it is and how to support it. And I didn't know the lymph system is partially responsible for absorbing nutrients. I always thought it was like the sewage system of the body. It's just a vehicle that clears the toxins out. But it's more than that from what I hear you saying.
You know, it's very, very true. And in fact, if your upper digestion, for example, is a little bit weakened, as many people's are, and we can talk about why that happened, undigested proteins like wheat and dairy and other hard-to-digest allergenic foods like nuts and seeds and things like that will go into the small intestine without being broken down. So if you ever saw, undigested food in your bowel movements, then there's a good chance you're not breaking the stuff down the way it should in the stomach. And if it goes into the small intestine without being broken down, those protein molecules like gluten and dairy are too big for them to enter into the bloodstream and deliver those proteins as nutrients. And where do they go? They go right into the collecting ducts of your lymphatic system that literally line your entire digestive tract. And over time, those gluten molecules will congest, inflame, and swell the lymphatic system, and there's really good science to back that up. And then when that system gets congested, and it also gets, you know, irritated from stress, as you know, through I'm sure a lot of your interviews on the microbiome, we process our stress through the intestinal tract. The stress irritates the intestinal skin, alters the microbiology, alters the intestinal skin, the lining, inflames it. And what we don't talk about is what happens next, which is the lymph system, which lines the intestinal tract, gets congested. And from there, you can't deliver nutrition, you can't get the energy, you can't get the waste out, you know, and your immune system's stuck in traffic. So those are like really, really important things that nobody talks about. We just talk about, well, you should just, you know, take this medication to lower your blood pressure or lower your cholesterol because these are the things, or this cortisone cream for your rash. But all of these things are related to the drains being clogged, but nobody addresses those issues. It's fascinating, actually.
I think it is, and I think it's important for people to understand the list of symptoms that can be associated with a congested lymph system. So can you just kind of go through some of
okay.
those symptoms?
Y'all ready? Okay, here goes.
Yeah.
So, you know, as I list these things, if you have any one or two of these things, it's generally due to some lymphatic congestion. Okay, so waking up feeling stiff and achy in the morning because the lymph pools at night. When you wake up stiff, this is the lymph system getting started. Any rashes, irritation on your skin, eczema, hives, psoriasis, any skin irritation whatsoever, holding on to water, rings getting tight on your fingers, you know, funguses on your toes or your feet, arthritis or pain in your joints, particularly your hands and feet, because your hands and feet, the lymph system drains up towards the heart to be processed out of the body. So the distal parts, the hands and the feet and the toes and the fingers, they tend to accumulate a lot of congested lymph or impurities that haven't gotten out, so they can create vulnerability to funguses and things like that. Swollen, extra weight around your belly is just the lymph around the intestinal tract being swollen. So bloating and gas and allergies and hypersensitivity reactions and headaches and sinus congestion, brain fog, fatigue, lethargy, pain in your body that moves from one joint to the next joint to the next joint. You have an achy joint here today and an achy joint here tomorrow. What women don't realize is that prior to their menstrual cycle, and they probably actually do realize this, prior to their menstrual cycle, the lymphatic system drains the reproductive system. So a lot of women have like swelling and breast tenderness, and they gain weight, and they break out around their chin or places prior to the cycle. Then when the cycle comes, they feel a whole lot better. There's lymphatic vessels that literally drain the reproductive system for the 2 weeks prior to the cycle. And if that lymphatic system is congested and you're premenstrually draining toxins from reproduction into a congested system, it's going to push it into this lymph system and make it swell, rashes, skin will break out, breasts will become swollen and tender, you'll bloat, hold on to water. If women are feeling these things, then these are real issues. And I wrote an article once called It Might Not Be Hormonal, because what I found clinically with so many of my patients with women is that we decongest their lymphatic system and all these reproductive so-called hormonal problems disappear. Thus, it might not be hormonal. The problem might be just poor drainage. And so many things are related to the drainage system being congested, even by having a compromised immune system, swollen glands, chronically getting sore throats, or getting a lot of colds again and again and again. All of these are potentially lymphatic-based. And most importantly, we're going to talk about the newly discovered brain lymph, I'm sure, in a minute, but those are linked to, and this is good science, linked to autoimmune conditions, which is like the epidemic of our time. No one knows what to do with these things. Inflammation, infection, and anxiety and depression, all linked to congested lymph. So, like, I know the list just goes on and on and on, but it makes sense, right? If the drains are clogged, you're in big trouble, right?
Absolutely. So what I hear you saying is that if you have a congestion in your lymph due to going back to that digestive system, and people have impaired digestion or chronic inflammation in their lining, and let these tears, micro tears occur, so food particles escape into the bloodstream or into part of the lymph, that generates inflammation going on throughout the body. So all of the conditions that we're struggling with right now, from the autoimmune conditions, from the depression, anxiety, low energy, more of the chronic illnesses, there's always a lymph involvement. Is that true? Would you say that?
Yeah, you know, I think that in the last 10 years we just hear the word inflammation. Inflammation is the cause of everything, and that's the thing. But really, what is inflammation? What they don't realize is that the lymph system actually inflames. It actually swells. It actually gets, they even get little aneurysms in the lymphatic system as this system is trying desperately to try to detoxify you, deliver the fats for energy in between meals, and support and drive your immune system to the emergency sites where the fire trucks need to go. And if that system is stuck in traffic, everything, immunity gets compromised, all these things happen, and then you get either localized inflammatory reactions or, you know, one of the things on the list we said. But you're absolutely right. Yeah, all of these concerns, you know, or we're just missing, you know, the elephant in the room, which is no one's talked about the largest system, circulatory system in the body, in terms of a clinical approach to helping restore and repair that. In Ayurveda, which is the Indian system of medicine, thousands upon thousands of years old, still the largest medical organization on the planet today, by the way, they say that the lymph is called rasa, and the study of longevity is rasayana. So the study of living long, healthy life is your study of your lymphatic system, something that we in the West, we just completely don't have that on our radar, and it needs to be there.
So I have a question to ask you, a couple of questions. What happens to women who have liposuction?
Well, the good news is, you know, liposuction is just really addressing the fat cells. We do know there's some studies to show that if the lymph system is congested, it will push those undigested fats into the fat cells and cause obesity. It's directly linked. So we know that where the fat comes from. So if you get liposuction, you know, I'm not sure the science about whether you're getting scar tissue in those areas and congesting intercellular circulation. That would be the question that I would ask, and I don't really know the answer to that. But I do know where the fat is coming from is from a congested lymph, usually caused by irritated intestinal skin, usually caused by upstream indigestion or poor digestion of hard-to-digest proteins. They did a study, and they found that there's three factors to the accelerated aging process in our body, and one of those is the health and integrity of the intestinal skin, so much directed by affected by stress and upper digestive deficiency. Number two, the the flow of the lymphatic system that lines the intestinal tract. I wrote an article called The Most Important Half Inch in Your Body, which literally have miles of, and it's where the lymph meets the intestinal villi, and that is where it all happens. And then the third thing is the quality of your microbiome, which depend on intestinal skin health and lymphatic flow. And if all three of those break down, directly linked, but all three are directly linked to the aging process. So where we need to put our eggs in the basket of preventative health is the quality of that half inch. And when we start out this life, we have enough intestinal skin that if you flattened it out, it's as big as a tennis court. Literally, and I've never actually seen that happen. I'd love to take somebody's intestines and flatten them out. See if it'll actually do that, because it seems unbelievable to me. But that's the science. And as we get older, that intestinal tennis court, you can say, starts to shrink, and we lose absorption and assimilation. And as people age, right, don't you see that? You see people just looking like they're just not absorbing the nutrition or getting the waste out. As we age, our complexion starts to fade, our skin starts to wrinkle. This is just not delivering the nutrition that we should have. You know what I mean? And so the goal, the longevity and optimal health, you know, plan would be let's take care, like farmers take care of their field. There's a field in there, a garden that grows really good bugs or bad bugs or commensurate bugs that do nothing but that take up real estate like spectators in a football stadium. That's what most humans have mostly in their gut are these spectators who do nothing, and they're not going to be altered unless we change the environment that they live in.
Yeah, that's a lot for people to really understand and appreciate if they want to reclaim their health. But it's important. We need to understand this. You know, I know we're going to talk about solutions for this and how to address many of these issues regarding our lymph. But before we go there, I do want you to talk about the latest research regarding the brain and the lymph system.
Okay, this is really interesting. About a year ago, no, maybe more now, maybe a year and a half ago, University of Virginia, they discovered these lymphatics that drain the brain and literally drain about 3 pounds of toxic plaque and chemicals from your brain every single year. Now, before this science, and this happens while you sleep at night, okay? So before this research, Western medicine was convinced, adamant, in fact, that there were zero lymphatic vessels draining your brain and your central nervous system. Well, I sort of never really was totally on board with that because in Ayurvedic medicine, they talked about lymphatics in the brain and central nervous system as critical to emotional health, to spiritual health even, to, you know, optimal health of your nervous system. And so when they found these vessels in the brain, they found them exactly where Ayurveda predicted them to be thousands of years ago, like a mohawk across the top of your head, is what's called the sagittal sinus, and that's exactly where they found these lymphatic vessels, exactly where they were predicted to be. And it's sort of amazing, right, that how could Western medicine, with all the dissection that's gone on all these years, how could they have missed major drainage channels in the brain that drain 3 pounds of yucky plaque and toxins every single year? It's just fascinating that they could have missed it, but they did. And now this is an area of massive discovery, and they found that there was a doctor back in the early 1900s who used to, he had the largest and most popular psychiatric hospital on the planet, and people would send all their family members who were not doing well psychologically there, and he would cut off toes and, you know, cut off fingers and pull teeth, and anything that was infected, he'd pull it out. And they thought he was a little crazy, but he was really successful. And now, fast forward 100 and so years, they realized that by taking all those infections out of the body, he was taking stress off the lymphatic system. And all of a sudden, there's now science to say, that guy wasn't so crazy after all, because they link directly the brain and nervous system lymphs, congestion, to infection, inflammation, right, the big thing of our time, autoimmune conditions, anxiety and depression, and cognitive function, Alzheimer's, like, you know, it's bankrupting our medical system, all of those linked to poor brain drains. And even, you know, most of the symptoms that people have when they eat wheat, brain fog, brain, you know, the whole brain grain syndrome. This is a lot of science that I can share with you, and I've written a book called Eat Wheat, which is all about the science that says, you know what, maybe it's not the grain, maybe it's the drain. that's gone congested. And if your intestinal skin breaks down, these hard to digest proteins will enter the lymphatic system, and they will congest it and over time create these symptoms. So there's so much to understand before we just say, oh, take wheat out of your diet, take dairy. And I get it if you feel bad when you eat it. Don't eat it. But let's not stop there. There's reasons why you're not digesting these hard-to-digest proteins. And I have so many patients, and I'm sure you do too, who they stop eating wheat and dairy, they feel better for a while, and then the symptoms come back. And then they stop eating meat, and then they stop eating, you know, they become vegetarian and then vegan, and then soon they're eating raw food. And there's, and sooner than later, there's not a whole lot of food left for them to eat because we've never addressed the underlying fundamental problem, which is how the intestinal skin breaks down through stress and upper digestive weakness. Yes, lots to do with the foods we eat, but all these things are so easily unraveled today, and nobody seems to want to talk about it. I just want to say wheat's bad, wheat's the new poison. And, you know, in my book, I've got 605 references proving that wheat actually isn't a poison, just a hard-to-digest protein. And like we talked about earlier, if you can't digest wheat and dairy and you once were able to, how are you going to digest the mercury that lines every single organic vegetable in America from the coal mine plumes that cover the entire country? They don't wash off, and your ability to digest well is your ability to detoxify well. They're the same pathways. So if you can't digest wheat and dairy and you once were able to, then that mercury on the organic vegetables are probably finding their way into your liver, your lymph, and even your brain and other vital organs. And this, down the road, can be a real problem. So just taking wheat and dairy out of your diet, yeah, you might feel better, and that's fine. But don't stop there. And that's what my book is about. Let's fix the cause. Let's get your digestive system back up. Let's get the lymph system to decongest. And then if you want to eat wheat or not eat wheat, that's, you're making that decision because it's a choice, not because I feel yucky when I eat these hard-to-digest foods and I think I've solved all my problems by taking them out. That is simply not the case. You know, wheat has been, people say, we've only been eating wheat for 10,000 years. That is simply not true. There's hard science to show they found plaque of wheat gluten and barley gluten in the plaque of humans, for early humans, 4 million years ago. We didn't even start hunting our own meat until 500,000 years ago. We have way more genetics to eat wheat than we do meat. And I get it. People process it, and there's ways to navigate that, around that. But it's really important for people to know. And when you look at the science of how we digest wheat, we have enzymes and microbes for digesting wheat and dairy, for that matter, in your mouth, in your esophagus, in your stomach, in your small and large intestine. There are enzymes throughout the entire pathway, process of digestion, that are doing everything they can to digest this hard-to-digest stuff. Seems like we have, you know, makes sense. It seems like the body went through a lot of adaptation to figure out how to do this thing. Yet, but it is a hard-to-digest, you know, protein, and if the digestion becomes weaker, then a lot of foods will irritate the intestinal skin, find their way into lymph, congest your brain lymph, your skin lymph, and make you foggy and lethargic and tired. And, man, that has to be addressed, and we can't just say, oh, just take the wheat out of my diet and I feel better. I wish it was that simple, you know.
And even traditional Chinese medicine agrees with Ayurveda, which come out of the same system anyway, that all health starts in the gut. We need to understand the gut. And I'm going to say something that's a complete generalization, so take that for what it may be. But I think we're all suffering from impaired gut function right now in our culture. And I see it when I travel around the United States. I see it when I go to Australia, New Zealand, Israel, you know, places that I have been. I just see everyone is suffering from the same issues of impaired gut function due to you know, the variety of issues that we all know about, from use of antibiotics and other drugs to the toxicity, the pesticides in the soil, the poor nutrition, blah, blah, blah. You know, the list goes on and on. But we have to go in and repair and regenerate these key systems if we are going to regain our health and support our lymph system, which is throughout the entire body, even the brain. And if we're not digesting, and this is what I hear so clearly from you, if we're not able to properly break down, digest, and absorb, and assimilate our nutrition, then we're going to be creating all these undigested particles that are going to contribute to clogging up the system and clogging up our lymph, our very complicated lymph system. Correct?
Absolutely. And you know, and you know, the whole probiotic industry, you know, I always think, okay, wait a minute, are we supposed to take probiotics every day for the rest of our lives until we're 90? Is that the new plan now? Because everybody's just banking on taking a probiotic pill to solve their problems. But you know, again, you know, I'm just not a fan of having taken a pill and a powder for the rest of your life. I think that if you have to take a probiotic, then, you know, why are those microbes not proliferating naturally the way they once have for thousands and millions of years? So, again, we just keep looking for the magic bullet to put out the symptomatic fire without really addressing the issue, which is your intestinal environment has to be appropriate. The upper digestion has to be strong to allow these bugs to proliferate. And if they're not proliferating, yeah, you take a probiotic, and I agree with that. Take it while you need it to get the body back into balance, everything you can to feel better. But, again, we still end up dependent on a pill or a powder or dependent on taking foods out of our diet to solve our symptomatic problems. And there's a lot of undigested foods and toxins that are probably going through without symptoms that could be setting us up for real problems. You know, when we really need our health, you know, in our 60s and 70s and 80s, when you're older, it can be a wonderful time of life, but when you're older and sick, it's just, I think, miserable. And I don't think that we have this thing called dependent longevity, where, yeah, we're living a little longer, but we're dependent on so many medications and the healthcare system. And I just think we can do so much better by understanding just the simple logic of how we got here, you know, naturally, as opposed to needing more pills and powders. And digestion and lymph are so critical, and we don't really talk about it. We just look for new Band-Aids. And I'm not against probiotics by any means, but you really need to understand that, again, we haven't solved the real problem.
Well, I'm really with you, because my focus now as I travel and lecture around the world is about the keys to rejuvenating our bodies, how to get younger and healthier as we get older, and knowing the principles that are required so we can have healthy aging. And you're also right, you know, our life expectancy is increasing, but our health expectancy is declining. So the older we get, especially get into your 60s, 70s, and 80s and beyond, until you get to 100, then life seems to improve based on the research. But we're really dealing with issues that can seriously compromise our health if we don't know the code, as I call it. So understanding the lymph and how to support the lymph and the digestive system is part of that code, so we can have healthy aging at any age. By the way, I think there are a lot of really old 30-year-olds right now. You know, they're,
yeah, you're so right.
Which is measured by the quality of their health. You know,
yeah.
There's, you know. So let's jump into the strategies that you recommend to support healthy lymph. And you know, we can start with the brain, because I know there's some really wonderful strategies that have been recognize to support that, the draining of the lymph in the brain, and then we can work through the body. And I also really want you to share some of the strategies that you have found to be successful for healing the lining of the gut as well.
Yeah, well, yes, for sure. And let me do that. Let me start with just sort of a baseline sort of understanding that just seems so logical, which is, you know, we talked about how earlier before we started the show, how the intestinal, the microbes that do everything for us, really, the heavy lifting for everything, they live in the dirt, and they live in the dirt, and they're attracted to certain foods. And then we eat those foods, and those bugs become our new microbiome. And they change dramatically from season to season. So we have, you know, a new set of bugs in the spring for decongesting us, a set of bugs for getting rid of heat, and a set of bugs for the immunity in the wintertime. And for digesting hard-to-digest foods like wheat, for example, amylase, which is a enzyme that digests wheat, increases in the winter and decreases in the spring and the summer. And wheat was this fall-harvested grain designed to be eaten in the fall and in the winter. And I think one of the big issues of why we've broken down our digestive system, we have this sort of mono diet. We've eaten wheat 3 times a day for 30 years, eat the same food every single day for breakfast, lunch, and supper. We don't change with the seasons. And there was a study done, and they take, and this is like so logical, right, for people to hear, I think. You take a deer, and they have bugs and microbes in their gut to digest leaves in the summer and bark in the winter, completely different bugs in the winter for the bark and completely different bugs in the summer for the leaves. But if they were to eat bark in the summer, they wouldn't have the microbes for that. It could cause such a level of indigestion in the deer, it could kill the deer. And I wrote a book called The Three-Season Diet, and I was like, which is all about eating with the seasons logically. But when I read that study, I was just blown away that deer die when they eat out of season, and we have no connection to that, and how important it is for us to get organic foods that we eat that have all the bugs on them, even organic herbs as opposed to extracted herbs, which are sterile, and start to get these exotic foods, exotic bugs that create diversity in the intestinal tract. That's how we got good bugs, not by eating the same processed food with no bugs in it every single day. When you put a loaf of bread on the counter and it sits there for 2 to 3 weeks, squishy, doesn't go bad, well, the bugs won't even go near the stuff because it's so processed. And you have 90% of your cells in your body are microbes. And you got to think, usually bugs eat stuff that when it goes bad, that's the bugs, you know, natural foods go bad. A loaf of bread, the old-fashioned loaf of bread, would get hard in a day, and you can clobber, knock somebody out with it in 2 days because it's hard as rock. And when you start seeing these foods that are processed and squishy like bread and milk that stay in your fridge for 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, this has nothing to do with, the microbes just want nothing to do with that. And we're 90% microbe, so we have to think about, you know, those kinds of things and making an effort. So what I did, I was so frustrated by this, that people weren't getting this. I put out a free eating guide every month for free for anybody. You can just, it tells you what to do. Superfoods, recipes, grocery lists for the month of October, November, December, January. Sign up for free. You get it for free as long as we're doing our thing here. And it's just a great way to get people to be reminded that, hey, this is food in season right now. We even have the different flowers that are edible during the summer months that you can eat as they come and become harvested. It's an amazing wealth of information for free just to remind folks to get back and start getting local foods that are in season with all those bugs on them to help the body change and reset a healthy microbiome. That's like sort of step one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense to me. Makes a lot of sense.
And then step two is your, you know, let's if you don't mind, let me go to the intestinal skin first, and then we'll do the brain because they sort of like add up that way.
Sure.
Because the brain's sort of dependent on the intestinal tract, if I could do it that way. The intestinal skin depends on upper digestion. And for like, you know, 1960, they took cholesterol out of our diet. What they replaced it with was processed, you know, marjorams and these hydrolyzed, hydrogenated oils. And these fats that render the body, render them undigestible. If you walk down the aisle in the grocery store with all the oils in it, oils which should normally, when you press a vegetable or a bean or something or a nut, you press it and you make the oil, one little photon of light would make it go rancid. This stuff sits on grocery store shelves in clear plastic bottles. It's completely unbelievable. And you cook with it and bake with it. That stuff is completely undigestible. It's like never cleaning your stove for 20, 30 years. That's what happens to our liver. It gets so deeply congested, it can't function. And the epidemic of our time today is diabetes and prediabetes, which starts, as you know, in the liver, not the pancreas. And when the liver gets congested, a lot of bad stuff happens. Number one, blood sugar issues become a problem. Cholesterol issues become a problem. It was never solved by taking cholesterol out of the diet. That was a big mistake, right? And they just this year, at the beginning of this year, took cholesterol, and they said they put it back in our diet. They took it off the nutrient concern list after 60 years of all that. But the point is that the liver, when it gets congested, and this happens also from constipation and bowel function issues, and many people have that, the bile flow in the liver becomes problematic. And this is the kingpin of our digestion because bile emulsifies the fats, the good fats, and the bad toxic fats. And it also buffers the acid in your stomach. So if you don't have good bile flow because of years of congested fats and poor digestion and poor elimination, constipation, things like that, and the bile isn't there, the bile will not buffer the acid in your stomach. And then your stomach says, hey, there's no bile down there to buffer all this acid, so I'm going to hold on to the acid, and over time that causes heartburn. Over time, that causes heartburn. And then eventually, what happens is the stomach will just start to dial down the production of the acid. And when the stomach starts to dial down the production of the acid, there goes our ability to break down hard-to-digest proteins. And then they go undigested into small intestine, irritate the lymph and all that. So for most people, ask yourself, can I digest wheat and dairy as sort of an acid test, and can I digest greasy fried food? If I can't digest any of those, and not that you should, but if you can't, as sort of a test, that means the digestion has gone back, it's gone problematic, and the liver's probably congested. So things to do to increase your bile flow are critical. And those are, and this is where I want to start, beets are phenomenal for increasing bile flow in the body. So one beet, red beet per day, phenomenal for increasing bile flow.
What about also, beet powder?
Beet powder, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I have a product called Beet Cleanse, which is all about that for sure. Beets also are phenomenal for the lymphatic system. So think about anything for the lymph that makes your skin turn red, like when you eat berries or blueberries or cherries or strawberries or beets or cranberries. They're going to dye your clothes red. Those are the lymphatic movers. So those are the things you want to be thinking about for the lymphatic system. But beets in particular are open up the bile ducts and then create decongested bile ducts. So does celery, artichokes, apples, all of your leafy greens, all of those are phenomenal bile movers. So those are really, really important, okay? And then once you increase your bile flow, we want to gently turn the stomach fire back on so you can digest foods, because if you keep that letting undigested foods go from your stomach to the small intestine and into large intestine, constantly ripping the intestinal skin to shreds and inflaming it, we're not going to really make any traction to solve the problem. So simple things for the upper digestion, drinking a little bit of ginger tea with your meal, simple way to help strengthen the digestive system. Five spices that folks can cook with and sprinkle on their food that are well documented with amazing good science to help increase digestion. And, you know, and spices are like old school, but, you know, for good reason. And those are fennel, ginger, cardamom, coriander, and cumin. So those five spices, fennel, ginger, coriander, cumin, and cardamom. All local spices you get in any health food store anywhere, and you can spice your food, you can sprinkle it on your food. It's a powerful, powerful way to turn on your upper digestion. We have a product called Gentle Digest, which has those, which is absolutely phenomenal to help turn on the upper digestion. And what it does is, this is what I love about these natural herbs, is it doesn't just say, here, take a digestive enzyme, which gives you the enzymes that you need to digest your food because your digestive enzymes aren't being made. This actually increases the production of your own stomach acid, your own digestive enzymes, your own bile. It doesn't just give you hydrochloric acid. It doesn't just give you enzymes. It triggers the body's production of it, so you get on it, you get better, and you get off of it. We're not stuck on these products that we do. Like, how many years have we been watching patients just gobble down digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid and all these agents to help do the job for us? But we can do this. Our body can pull this off if we just reset versus, you know, sort of create another sort of dependency. And then another simple thing for the upper digestion is lemon, salt, and pepper. So any restaurant you go into, there's going to be salt and pepper shaker on the table. You order a glass of warm water, a cup of hot water with a little lemon in it. You can put a little salt and pepper in there. You can just put it in your regular room temperature water. And you drink that before you order your food, and all of a sudden you're kindling the digestive fire before you eat your food. That extra fire tells your bile to make, hey, we got some fire going up there. We better get some bile to buffer it. And now all of a sudden the whole digestive system starts to work. So those are some simple strategies: upper digestion for the stomach, bile flow agents, and then you have the intestinal skin, and that is, you know, when anybody has any intestinal inflammation, as you know, you take away the raw food, which is hard to digest, roughage for folks. So, you know, traditionally cooked foods were very, very important. And if you have intestinal irritation, there's one Ayurvedic food that they call khichdi, which is sp- split yellow mung beans along with a long grain white rice. Now, thousands of years ago, somebody would sit down and chop the little beans in half, take the husk off, and split the little bean. And they would take the rice and hand dehusk it and put it together with spices and cook it for hours to make this medicinal gruel that was baby food and convalescence food. Now we just, you know, take it for granted that you can get your refined white rice. But thousands of years ago, someone sat there and did that. That took a lot of time to make this medicine, and it was a medicine for the intestinal skin. And we do cleanses with khichri called khichri cleanses to help repair and heal and repair the intestinal tract. And those are recipes. You can find them on my website for free or in my books. But those are some simple strategies, along with easy-to-digest cooked foods like sweet potatoes and cooked vegetables and foods that are not overcooked or undercooked, but cooked enough that help, you know, nourish the body without irritating the intestinal skin. It's very important.
And while you're catching your breath, I just want to say that I recommend to all my patients who have digestive issues, which I said earlier is most of them, that they really need to be eating cooked foods, warming cooked foods. Cooked in some way, doesn't have to be cooked, you know, to death, but just steamed, just slightly breaking down the fiber, because the ability, as you were saying, to digest raw foods is really compromised if you have a weakened digestive system. And our culture that believes that you lose enzymes when you cook them and you must have food raw actually is a flawed theory for most part, based on Ayurvedic and traditional Chinese principles of good gut health. Right? I mean, wouldn't you agree? I think we're pushing.
Yeah, I actually written a handful of articles on this, and it turns out that it's super, you know, you can take a science. I think there's aspects of, like, there's broccoli, for example. There's the carbonyl that, and then there's the sulforaphanes. And those are the two major ingredients that are super nourishing for anti-cancer benefits of broccoli. And I forget the exact science of it, it's written there. But one of them increases when you cook them, and the other one increases when you eat it raw. So, there's just one study after another that shows, like, yeah, some nutrients and constituents are increased when you eat things raw, and some things are increased when you eat things cooked. So there really is no... there's no absolute. And I think that the logic is when you cook your vegetables and they turn that bright green, you know, when they really start to become a little fluorescent, that's when they're done, when they're really cooked, when you've broken down the fiber and those nutrients are still there, they're really bright, you can eat them. But you're absolutely right. You know, the science of, you know, the science for cooking your foods, particularly if you're trying to repair and heal your intestinal tract. And then you have seasonal influences, where in the winter you'd cook more of your foods, and we know digestion is stronger in the winter. And in the summertime, the foods are sort of cooked on the vine, and the digestive system is a little bit weaker in the summer, so we don't have to increase heat so much, so we can... part of our survival was always that we could dissipate heat better. And in the summertime, you eat foods from the vine. They're pre-cooked from nature on the vine by the sun. We don't need a huge fire to cook them in our bodies in the summertime. And so that's how we're designed. Of course, we eat barbecue, everything in the summer, and we eat these hard-to-digest foods in the summer, which really challenge the digestive system. And we just, once again, lost that connection to these beautiful circadian rhythms. And in one study, they said that humans have literally lost their connection to these circadian rhythms, which affect genetic expressions. And one Scientific American study article said that the future of Western medicine is what they're calling circadian medicine, getting us, our cells, our genes back in touch and in rhythm with these natural cycles. And that is Ayurveda and Chinese medicine. Traditional people knew that, logically, you know, and fundamentally, that we have to stay connected to the rhythms of nature, because that's our survival. Without that, what are we? And that's what we're beginning to see. And the lymphatic system is such a big part of that.
Okay. That's great information. I'm so appreciative for you to share those basics with digestion, because I know it's really confusing to people. Do you, is there anything else before we move on to how to move the lymph, which I really want you to talk about, lymph drainage, skin brushing and all that stuff. But is there anything else that really helps to heal the lymph? I like to use colostrum powder, a really good form of colostrum that has the active peptides in there. There's glutamine, there's bone broth. Do you agree with those things as well?
I do. I think I actually love colostrum. I think it's phenomenal because, you know, we know that that's the booster for the immune system for babies, and that immune system is being boosted via the lymphatic system. So you are right on target using that for lymphatic flow. Of course, you know, we talked about, we know that all the antioxidants we've heard about over the years, they actually, new science is now showing that they actually work via and through the lymphatic system. So all of your antioxidants, your berries and cherries and, you know, leafy greens and all those are very, very valuable for your lymphatic system. One of the old school ways of keeping your lymph system, you know, moving is hydration, because this is the intercellular fluid, and if that dehydrates, that's not a good thing. And what Ayurveda recommended was just sipping hot water, like take a thermos for a week or two, fill it up, and just sip a little bit of hot water throughout the day. It's been shown to increase the little cilia of your respiratory tract. They sweep all the yucky stuff, you know, out of the body and into the digestive system. And if they don't sweep fast enough, all that yuck goes into your lymph and congest your lymph. And they found that sipping hot water increases they call it the beating of these little sweepers, and they sweep faster when you sip hot water. It's pretty cool. And so sipping hot water will increase that upper respiratory lymph. So for things like allergies, and people are like having, you know, upper respiratory issues and seasonal allergies, hot water is a great solution to kind of navigate around the exposure. But know also that that's because the underlying lymph is congested, the underlying intestinal skin is probably congested, and we need to support those guys too, and then support you with lymphatic, you know, with lymphatic movement type agents. The brain lymph, which is such a big, huge deal, that drains while you sleep at night. Now think about this for a minute, Dr. Cheryl. When you think about the ancient humans who moved at least average 9 to 10 miles per day on average, when you walk and you exercise, those big lymphs in your legs and your feet and your arms and everywhere, they're moving because they pump. The lymph moves by muscular contractions. It's not connected to the heart. It doesn't pump via the heart. It's a different system. It pumps by movement and muscular contractions. So when you move a lot during the day, exercise anyway, all those big lymphs drain really well. But if you don't move a lot during the day, all those big lymphs don't drain during the day, so those big lymphs are going to very quickly and very easily congest the little microscopic lymphs that drain your brain and your central nervous system that drain while you sleep at night through these microscopic channels that are so small they didn't find them in the body until last year. That's how small they are. But they're super profound. So this is where exercise becomes so critical. And right, you know, I mean, how much research are we seeing in the last couple of years on how valuable exercises for brain health and mood health and longevity, and how movement is so critical. And now we know that all that is part and parcel, you know, related to the benefits of lymphatic drainage. And then sleeping. You have to sleep at night. If you don't sleep well at night, your lymph doesn't drain well. And this is a scary notion for a lot of folks who don't sleep well. But sleeping has to be addressed, you know, the underlying issues of sleep. So sleeping well, going to bed early, getting up early, these are the factors that that are linked to our longevity, is, you know, getting our sleep tied to the rhythms of nature. And one example would be, you know, if you went to bed at midnight and you woke up, say, tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, how would you feel? Probably a little heavy and lethargic. Let's say the very next night you went to bed at 8 o'clock and woke up at 6 o'clock. In comparison, how would you feel? Most people say, oh, I feel better. If I go to bed at 8 and get up at 6, I feel great, light, you know, more movement. That lightness and clarity is because your lymph drained better that night. There's good science to back that up now. And it all has to do with when you get your sleep connected to the circadian rhythms versus, you know, how much you get, because both nights were 10 hours of sleep, exact amount of sleep, but how you feel, completely different.
Well, so We only have a couple of minutes left of our show, and I want to make sure we cover whatever else you think is really important to be said about healing the lymph and digestive system before we have to wrap this up. It's gone really quickly. So what else do you want to share in the last couple of minutes, John?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, I think, you know, for the brain lymph, okay, probably the most profound in Ayurvedic medicine, okay, it's a 5,000-year-old system of medicine. There's five therapies they use for detoxifying. One of those is called nausea, where you sniff medicated or herbalized oils into your sinuses, not just to lubricate your nose so you don't get a dry nose. It actually goes up into the sagittal sinus and cleans those brain lymphs. Now, I wrote an article that you can read, everybody can read, so all my articles are for free, and it's called Sinus Cleansing and Emotional Baggage. If you go to my website, you can read about this powerful therapy, that because in Ayurveda, they link these congested brain lymphs to mood-related emotional traumas that we adapt around, and we all have, to continue living our lives. But that, over time, starts to congest the brain in terms of cognitive function, sets us up for inflammation and autoimmune-related issues. So there's therapies that are thousands of years old that are now, you know, being proven by modern science that suggest that these old strategies were very, very profound. And I wrote an article about how to do that step by step by step, called Sinus Cleansing and Emotional Baggage. And I think that's the one, if you're really interested in getting that brain cleaned out, other than sleeping well and all those strategies and exercise, and, you know, and then the last one is, like you said, about skin brushing and massage. You know, skin brushing exfoliates the skin-associated lymph, which is oftentimes a dumping ground when your lymph and your digestion gets congested. A lot of times your body will use your skin as an exit ramp, and you get rashes and hives, and your skin will lose luster and wrinkle and congest. And scrubbing and brushing your skin and then putting oil on your skin to lubricate, because the bugs on your skin, there's millions of them there, feed on the oil. So you scrub it and you exfoliate it, and then you put oil on it, like an herbalized lymphatic oil. And you can learn more about that on my website as well. But those are some really simple things that have been done in traditional cultures for thousands upon thousands of years. People have always done a daily oil massage. They soap up a little bit, then they put oil on their skin as a natural protective therapy. And now we know what they're doing is feeding their microbes with these oils, which keep the skin very, very youthful. So simple things, powerful things, but very effective things.
Getting back to the ancient wisdoms that really understood what was going on and had the strategies to heal and support our body to rejuvenate and regenerate. And that's what I, you know, so appreciate about studying Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, that they really had the wisdoms. We're just remembering what we've forgotten. You know?
So true. Hard to ignore that.
So, okay. So people should visit your website, lifespa.com. That's lifespa.com, really easy. And you can access all of these great resources and articles and videos that Dr. John has. And also, there's a free chapter you're giving away. Do you want to just real briefly just mention how people can get your book and the special deal you're offering with your new book?
Sure. My new book, Eat Wheat, is actually, if you really want to learn how to reboot every aspect of your digestion and lymph, I actually have never done it more specifically and step-by-step than in my Eat Wheat book, how to reboot your digestion so you can, you know, safely eat wheat and dairy again if that's what you like. But that's my book called Eat Wheat. And the e-book comes out September 1st from September 1st through September 22nd. You can get the book for 99 cents at eatwheatbook.com. As eatwheatbook.com, and when you buy that ebook, you can get the step-by-step guide to rebooting digestion and lymph, plus you get all kinds of free gifts, which include more information on the lymphatic system to help you learn more about the lymphatic system. So you can go to lifespa.com, which is my main website, and sign up for our newsletter and get all this information about ancient wisdom and modern science, but you can also go to eatwheatbook.com and get and we're also giving you a free preview, forgot to tell you that, a free preview just for free of the first two chapters of the book, so you can read that. And then, like I said, from September 1st to September 21st, it's only 99 cents for the entire ebook to get the whole information about how to reboot digestion and lymph. So there you get it. You can get that at eatwheatbook.com.
Well, you've been such a wealth of fantastic information. I really want to appreciate you being here and how much you've shared with all of us. It's just been a wonderful conversation. So, Dr. John Dulard, thank you so much, and good luck with your new book and spreading the word.
Thank you, Dr. Cheryl. I so appreciate being here. Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you. And thank you to all my listeners. And I always like to remind you, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.